But let us make that hard right turn to college football because Herbie is here. Kirk Herbstreit. Herbstreit and Fitzsimmons joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, let's talk about what to expect, Kirk, with your old alma mater. They get Urban Meyer back. The three-game suspension is behind them. Clearly didn't hurt them too much as they put together three pretty impressive games, including a really good win against a very tough TCU team. So what do you expect it to be like now that Urban is going to be back on the sidelines?
Well, I called the Ohio State TCU game last week, and part of the prep, I went up to Ohio State on Wednesday. And the last two games, Urban Meyer has been allowed to be with the team except for the game. And so if you wouldn't have told me what was going on, I would have thought this is just a normal Wednesday practice with Ohio State. I mean, Urban Meyer was as involved as he's ever been coaching the team and then addressing the team post-game or post-practice. The only thing the last couple of weeks, obviously, he wasn't able to board the plane and communicate and be a part of that. So I don't necessarily think for the players it's going to be a drastic change. And let's give Ryan Day and Greg Schiano and that entire staff a lot of credit for what they were able to do and kind of uncharted waters those 3 weeks. They're very organized, not just winning, but organized. There weren't a lot of mental mistakes, weren't a lot of, play clock's running down, time out. It looked very buttoned up. So, they have Tulane this week. I think they're about a 35-point favorite. You're really not going to know much about how much it's changed this week. Now, keep in mind, next week, they go to State College, the whiteout, hostile environment. That's when you really find out where this team is with Urban Meyer and whether or not they're a legitimate threat to win the Big Ten and to potentially end up making a playoff.
And part of that is going to be, again, less concern about the opponent this week than Nick Bosa to be healthy for that game next week against Penn State.
Yeah.
Nick won't be playing in this game against Tulane. Herbie, the team that, and what a game it was, the LSU at Auburn. For LSU to jump out to that lead, we had Ed Orgeron on yesterday talking about this, jump out to that lead and then be down 21-10 in the third quarter and come back on the road the way they did. And we talked about their next three games, Louisiana Tech, Ole Miss at Florida. Then they go Georgia, Mississippi State, and Alabama. So we're going to find out on the field. But how legitimate do you think this team is right now? Because I still think there's a question mark at quarterback.
Yeah, well, I don't know at quarterback. I just think because their passing game hasn't helped out a lot. I mean, they've had some key moments, but overall, they're I think 106th in the nation in passing offense, and Joe Burrow's only completing, I think it's 47% of his passes. So it's natural to be concerned or wonder. But Dave Aranda's defense right now, I mean, they're playing, you know what it's like, guys, when you see a team questioned, how that can collectively bring you together and you collectively play with a chip on your shoulder with basically we'll show them kind of attitude. Well, that's what we've seen from LSU the first 2 weeks as a team, and especially most notably on defense. With the way they're playing offense, is it going to eventually catch up to them with their schedule? You would say conventional wisdom would say yes. It's a young offense. I talked to Joe just yesterday, and he said, we're still trying to kind of find our identity. We're still learning how to play it. There are a lot of new faces. So they're only going to get better on that side of the ball. But the schedule is going to just continue to get more and more challenging in that SEC West. The SEC West is clearly the deepest division. We thought going into the season it was the Big Ten East. And after 3 weeks of football, it appears to be with the emergence of LSU and Texas A&M, and we know about Mississippi State and Auburn and Alabama, it's got to be the SEC West. So it'll be a grind for them, but it's been a lot of fun to watch these guys play these first 3 weeks with two top 10 wins when not a whole lot of people thought they could do that, so they deserve a ton of credit, especially doing it away from Death Valley for both of those wins. So, man, the more we question them and doubt them, the better they play. So we'll see.
No question. Again, those first two wins, as you said, against top 10 teams, that hadn't happened two times in the first 3 weeks of the season in 37 years. So Ed Orgeron and LSU really, really getting stuff done. By the way, Kirk is brought to us by Allstate. Allstate knows that football season is mayhem. That's why they're reminding fans that if mayhem can show up on game day, imagine what can happen the rest of the week. So get better protected with Allstate. Kirk, we'd love to say there's a lot of mayhem in college football, but it certainly seems like there's a certainty headed our way that it's Alabama's world and the rest of us are just living in it. This is the first time you can say that Alabama has had all the parts and a quarterback. I mean, it's 51-14, 62-7, 50-something to whatever. I mean, it just seems like they're playing with a stacked deck and the rest of us are saying, okay, who's getting the silver medal here?
Yeah, and honestly, if you watched their championship game last year and the way the second half unfolded with what Tua did, and for me, I have the benefit of going to a lot of their practices, they're closed, and seeing guys like Tua operate against the best defense in the country and seeing the ball never touch the ground and seeing the things that he did in like 2-minute drills. And it just made me walk away before the Georgia game thinking, wow, that kid is incredibly accurate and he makes quick decisions. And they've got a great group of wide receivers. So before the season even started, I had made a comment that if Tua walks out to play, and there was a controversy still at that time, who's going to be the guy? And I said, if Tua plays, it's over. They're going to score 45 or 50 a game. To go along, as you said, with the traditional defense, special teams, field position, all the stuff that they always are good at, and they usually run the ball, they're going to still do all that. And, oh, by the way, it's the best they've been around the quarterback position because of the way they've recruited since Nick's been there. And so good luck. Are you going to load up to stop the powerful running game of Damian Harris and company, or are you going to worry about Tua in the passing game? Wherever you go, they're going to make a call at the line of scrimmage and go the other way. So it's a little bit of pick your poison. And they've only had their foot on the accelerator for a half in most of these games that they've played. I can't even imagine what they would do if they did it for four quarters. With that being said, I did A&M and Clemson 2 weeks ago. Jimbo Fisher has changed that culture with all these new head coaches in college football more drastically than anybody in the country that has a new job in a positive direction. They don't have the depth, but they're starting 11 on defense and they're starting 11 on offense. And with the way Kellen Mond's playing at quarterback, this will be Alabama's biggest test that they've had up to this point. I don't know if A&M's going to be able to be in the game in the second half. I think Bama will eventually pull away. But I don't think A&M physically walks into this game in awe of Alabama. They're physical at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Veteran SEC linebackers, athletic in the secondary. And like I said, Kellen Mond has the ingredients that gives Alabama's defenses a lot of trouble. He can throw it from a traditional style offense, but on 3rd and 6 and 3rd and 8, he can pull it down. He can take off. He can run some zone read and use his feet. So don't be surprised that as much as we're patting Alabama on the back, congratulations, national championship, great job. Don't be surprised if A&M competes with them this week. I think Texas A&M is a much better team than maybe people nationally realize at this point.
All right, Herb, let's run out to the West Coast, the Pac-12 that usually feels they're left out of all the conversations. You guys are in Oregon, taking on Stanford and Oregon. And you look Stanford, Oregon, Washington, maybe those three teams, if you think someone else might be in it.
Arizona State for the
Pac-12. Arizona State taking on Washington.
Arizona
State taking on Washington this week. Oregon takes on Washington in a couple of weeks, and then Stanford and Washington in November at some point. How do you see this game, and where are these two teams as far as the Pac-12 is concerned?
Well, it's great. I'm glad you asked about the Pac-12 because you're right. Most people east of the Rockies don't really recognize the Pac-12, and especially when the big face of the conference, USC, is struggling the way they are to start the season off. I hear you yelling. Arizona State, they were kind of the flavor of the week after their big win against Michigan State. They turned around and lost to San Diego State. So they've kind of right now are in come down a gear or two. The Pac-12 is down as far as the South is concerned. The Pac-12 North, we'll find out this weekend. Washington, you know, was the team to beat when the season started. They had a really good start against Auburn. They don't quite look themselves offensively. I don't know what's going on. I know they're not as good at the line of scrimmage right now and being able to run the ball. So the winner of this game between Stanford and Oregon and Eugene gives both these teams a chance to kind of get back to showing the nation that they deserve to be up in the top 10 in the country. Stanford is a physical team. Bryce Love expected back. He missed last week. They've got a very balanced attack. And then Oregon, you know, Oregon, last time we really got into Oregon, Marcus Mariota was on the team. 2014, they went all the way to the national title. They've been a little bit forgotten over the last 3 years. So it's at home, at Autzen, incredible fan base. So the stage is theirs, and we'll see if Oregon has what it takes to be able to hang with a team like Stanford.
That'll be part of college football this weekend. We're looking forward to it. Kirk, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Herbie.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you soon.
You got it.